Welcome to the Top Advisor Marketing Podcast. This special series was recorded live at the Market Council Summit in Las Vegas, Nevada. Listen in as we talk with leaders in our industry represented at this wonderful event. Now, on to the show.
Hello and welcome to another Top Advisor Marketing Podcast. We are live again from the Market Council Summit in beautiful Las Vegas, Nevada. One of the nice things about being at these conferences is you have the opportunity to meet some of the big players who offer products and services to financial services professionals, especially RIAs. And what we have today is we've interviewed, just so you know, Aaron, I don't know if you know this, we've actually interviewed somebody else from your firm before on this podcast.
Wow.
But we have the CEO, Aaron Klein, of Riskalyze. Most of you know what Riskalyze is, even though I'm going to let Aaron tell us a little bit more about how it works. But what we're going to do differently with this podcast is we're going to talk about how Aaron and his team recommends you use something like Riskalyze as a very, very powerful marketing tool, which is a differentiator between you and the advisor down the street. So, Aaron, welcome to the show.
Hey, great to be with you, Matt.
Well, just in case somebody has been hiding under a rock and they actually don't know what you do, would you mind giving everybody just a brief example of or a brief explanation of what Riskalyze is?
Sure. You know, this all started because I was working in product for a division of an options brokerage firm. My co-founder was a financial advisor, and he and I were just talking about a variety of different things. I had a technology intersecting with finance kind of background. And I said to him, it is crazy how the average investor thinks about the concept of risk. And he said, if you think that's crazy, you should see how us financial advisors think about it. You know,
yeah.
He said, we just don't have the tools in this industry to understand how to get aligned on the concept of risk with our clients. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, one thing led to another. We ended up forming the company in 2011, built around the idea that if we could build a short-term framework to, you know, for advisors to help their clients understand and react to risk appropriately, mm-hmm. that's how you can turn a fear-bound investor who makes bad short-term decisions into a fearless investor who makes really great short-term decisions. And we think great short-term decisions are the input that advisors use to build those incredibly great long-term financial outcomes.
Okay. I don't think I've ever heard it said like that. That's really interesting. Can you elaborate on that?
Sure. Well, you know, like, let's put it this way. I feel like the average financial advisor before Riskalyze is sitting there knowing that at any point in time, the beautiful plan that they've constructed for their client to get to a great retirement outcome or whatever the financial goal is, mm-hmm. can be disrupted by a bad short-term decision, right? And the problem is as humans, we have this great tendency to sabotage our investing. Mm-hmm. Warren Buffett said it best, like investments are literally the only thing that Americans refuse to buy when they're at their cheapest and only want to buy when they're at their most expensive, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So our psychology works against us as investors and we get fearful. And a large part of that is understanding what is normal and understanding the trade-offs between risk and reward. We're human. We want all the return and none of the risk. Mm-hmm. And financial advisors have to figure out how to communicate on a level playing field and get those concepts across and understand and really drive alignment between how much risk we're going to take for how much return we're going to try and target. And that way, when the client's feeling nervous, you know, a lot of our advisors will say, look, I have cut my talk me off the ledge phone calls by 90% mm-hmm. because the client used to call me and say, we're down 3%, am I okay? Right. They now know that for this risk 45 portfolio they have, 6 months from today, it could be normal for that portfolio to be down 8% or up 12%. Mm-hmm. That's normal. So they're not going to call me worried about being down 3% because they know this is just normal behavior for their portfolio.
And what a huge benefit Riskalyze has for that. I mean, I love one of my clients here at Top Advisor Marketing had just purchased Riskalyze.
Yeah.
And he said, Matt, I want you to take it.
By the way, instead of calling it purchasing Riskalyze, we call it joining the fearless investing movement.
Okay, that's because way better marketing than what I just said.
But it's honestly, like, it's less about that and it's more about advisors joining this incredible movement. We feel like it's bigger than our company. But anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Before I tell you how terrible my score was or how telling. I should, it's probably a much better way to
There's
explain
no that. Right or wrong risk number, Matt.
I was so impressed with the interface, the line of questioning. My background is actually as a therapist.
Yeah.
And so obviously the cycle of investor emotions has been something that's always been very passionate for me.
For sure.
And as a therapist, just so you know, we're not supposed to talk about money.
Interesting.
So who does, man?
Right.
That's the advisor's job.
The advisor is the therapist when it comes to money. That is for sure. And they're a psychologist. They deliver oxygen. They keep people breathing and thinking and hopefully somewhat rationally. And you know, again, we've always said, like, we cannot, Riskalyze cannot turn a bad advisor into a good advisor. Mm-hmm. It can simply make great advisors look brilliant in terms of how they get these concepts across and drive that kind of alignment with their clients.
So let's talk about how you use this.
Yeah.
And I love the fact that, you know, this is going to stop 90% of those, you know, walk me off the ledge or talk me off the ledge phone calls. How do you teach your advisors who join the family to use this appropriately?
Yeah, I think that, you know, so first of all, like from a tactical standpoint, we do a lot of training and we do a lot of, we've invested in a customer conference. So we have a lot of different opportunities. We did a Fearless Investing Tour last year where we went to six different cities across the country and invested in training and all those kinds of things. But, you know, we're largely thinking about this through two lenses. And I just kind of talked about like when you're dealing with an existing client, right? And you're talking about how they should have their expectations. But when you think about this a little bit from a marketing standpoint, I think it's really interesting. We kind of sat back and said, so first of all, I think that great marketing really intrigues people. And that's what natural marketing is all about. Mm-hmm. You know, and for far too long, I think our industry is throwing technology like, I'll just pick as an example, account aggregation tools, right?
Okay.
So we just kind of throw those out there and we say, well, this is our marketing hook. Like you jump on this portal and you can plug in all your passwords and then all your money just kind of appears there on the screen. And I think for most clients, it's kind of like, all right, so what's in it for me? I understand why you want to know how much money I have, Mr. Advisor, right? What I don't understand is like, what's in it for me? Like, what do I get out of this? I get some nice charts and graphs. Like, that's kind of interesting. But like, what do I really get out of this, right? So we have kind of like, I think account aggregation technology is interesting. I just think it really needed a reason for clients to use it. And so we kind of try to peel it back a little bit and think a little bit more organically about this. I think what's really interesting is to intrigue clients with the question, what is your risk number? Mm-hmm. Like everybody has one. Everybody has an amount of risk that they're comfortable with. And it's really important. Like, do you know what yours is?
Mine's 35.
Yours 35. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I don't know exactly why that's the wrong number, but you know.
he seemed to think it was the wrong number,
that's
but that's
funny.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, so, but I'll say in context, like I think that advisors using Riskalyze will often say, man, I'm surprised.
That's okay. That's, in fact, that's a way better way to say it. I know that my friend's going to listen to this. He did say that was surprising. He said, Matt, you know, you have a risk tolerance of a much older person.
There you go.
How he said it.
There
so
you
it
go.
Wasn't a right or wrong. But,
no, for sure. And the thing is that, you know, look, my co-founder is you. Okay. And guess what? He was you. He's a 33. And he was a 33 at age 20.
Whoa.
Okay. And so he was told by a financial advisor that he knew at the time. He's like, you know, again, the risk number didn't exist back then, but I'm paraphrasing. Dude, you should be a 99, right? You got your whole career ahead of you. You've got all the time in the world, right? You don't need this money for 40 years, right? Like just be a long-term investor. The markets will reward you for that. And the problem is that, you know, my co-founder does not have the stomach to watch his assets drop like a rock when markets go down. Yes, the math tells us that if he just ignores that, right, and waits and the markets will come back up, right, that everything will be well. But the reality is he doesn't have the stomach to watch that. And he's likely to make a really bad short-term decision, which is sell at the bottom, right? And that will blow up his long-term future.
Yeah.
And so the reality is he's way better off just investing. He's been very successful, and he has consistently invested since the dot-com crash, like cured him of this. He sold at the bottom, right, after the dot-com crash as a very young guy. And he has learned that how much risk he can handle actually matters to him as an investor because it allows him to stay invested for the long term. It allows him to recover from the downturns, and it allows him to get the benefits of long-term market appreciation because he's able to stay invested as a result. So, you know, it was really interesting when we brought in a team of academics to kind of dive into the methodology, dive into the data. And what they found was really interesting. About half of investors aged 20 to 29 fit their stereotype of being aggressive, But what that means is that our industry is serving the other half of them completely wrong.
Yeah.
They're spread pretty evenly across the rest of the investing spectrum. Mm-hmm. Conversely, investors aged 70 to 79, a little less than half of them fit their stereotype of being conservative. So the same exact thing, like, you know, and we had one advisor who came in and was telling us about a client who was about to leave him. He said, you know, he was making all the noises about leaving. So he gets a meeting with him, and the guy comes in and he says, "Yeah, George, I'm going to leave. You know, my son has been doing better than I have. My friends have been doing better than I have. They're all making better returns." And George says to me, he goes, "Well, look, I know you've always been a little bit more aggressive. I actually just started using this tool called Riskalyze. I'm just really curious. Can we go through this risk number thing?" So he goes through the risk number. This guy is 72 years old, and he is a risk 75. Okay? And for George, the advisor, he said he just, all of a sudden it just hit him. He says, this guy is a retired state of California employee. If there's one thing that we know about the state of California, it's that they will bankrupt that place before they don't pay out the pensions, right? So his day-to-day living money is secure. He is secure. This money that George is managing for him is all about whether or not he's going to be able to buy that vacation home, right? So he is a risk 75 for his investable assets. And, you know, George basically said, I realize I have been stereotyping you. You, most investors like your age, at your stage, are risk 35, somewhere in that range. And I knew you were more aggressive than that, so I made you a risk 45. Mm-hmm. He goes, "But you're a 75. And so, like, let me show you my risk 75 portfolio." And the guy looked at it, he says, "You can do this for me, George?" He goes, "Yeah, I sure can." He goes, "Great, you're hired again." You know, so it's amazing what happens when you can actually get into alignment and really understand and anchor clients to who they are.
I love alignment. That's brilliant. That's such a great way to look at this. And real marketing not only does the intrigue, but it also will get you your talking points, your communication, your relationship within alignment with your client to make sure that you're communicating the right way.
Yep.
I
also think that great marketing kind of takes one step at a time. Right? I think sometimes in the financial advice world, we kind of fast forward, we try to get the prospect to like do a lot of things all at the same time, right? And so that's the other way that we've thought about when you peel this back. It's like, okay, intrigue them with the risk number. You might have our lead generation questionnaire, you know, built into your website. It's really slick, and you can drop a button that says, "What is your risk number?"
That's
they click
took,
it. Yeah. And it pops up right in the context of your website and walks them through the process and they get the risk number. So the outcome of that is, okay, so great, Matt, you're a 35. Are you curious what your portfolio is?
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah. He looked at all of that. It was not in line
but
at
that,
all.
But that is what really then gets the client to understand what is in it for me, right? Because at that point, I'm like, yeah, that's interesting. Now I know I'm a 35. That feels right to me. Yeah. I have no idea if my money is invested like a 35 right now. So now I've got a reason why I actually want to have a meeting with you as an advisor. Now I have a reason where if you send me the prompt to go ahead and load my accounts up in advance of that meeting, I want to do that.
That's
because
right.
I want the other side of the coin. I want to understand the information of am I aligned or not. And about 88% of the clients who do that process and then come in and do a meeting with an advisor have more risk in their portfolio than they want or realize because there's such a lack of alignment across the industry.
I love that you're changing the conversation and making it an actual real conversation instead of what you're predisposed to think as a person with X amount of years of experience.
Yeah, I also appreciate that. And I also think that, you know, a lot of what we try to do with marketing is build trust, right? Because we're ultimately trying to get to the point of a client making a decision to entrust their life savings to us, right? And so I find it interesting all the different things advisors try to do to build trust. It can be to build out a really nice office suite and have gleaming photos of their family and dress really nicely and have the Mercedes parked outside. And all those things are great, okay? And they convey a certain message about who we are as financial advisors. But the problem is there's, you know, let me put it this way. Bernie Madoff drove a nice car as well, okay?
He had great suits.
He had a great office. Yeah. He had great suits. And so that isn't selling trust. That isn't selling authenticity anymore, okay? And our belief is that if you actually shift to educating people about things they didn't understand but always kind of knew were true, that builds trust in an instant. Because when you can quantify for somebody what they've always felt, It just like makes trust appear. And my example for that would simply be, we had a great example of an advisor. Now, this was in 2013. And advisor gets a phone call from somebody he's just met in passing at like a Chamber of Commerce luncheon or something like that. And the guy says, you know, I've been friends with my advisor forever. I play golf with him all the time. He's a great guy. I love him. But I just feel really nervous. You know, it's 2013. The markets are just screaming up, right? He goes, I just feel really nervous. Like, I just retired. I've got $2 million. I feel like I've got no margin for error. And, you know, I feel like my portfolio just bounces around a lot. And it just makes me feel really nervous. And then I think he kind of realized that, like, maybe he's throwing his golf buddy under the bus, right? So he starts backpedaling on the phone. And he says, but you know what? I've been making tons of money recently, so I don't want to make any changes. He's going to wait till he loses all the money. Then he's going to make the changes,
that's
right?
The right time. Right?
Yeah, exactly. So the advisor says, well, that's okay. Like, you know, and he says, well, why don't we go ahead and get together? I'll get to know you. Who knows? Maybe in the future I'll use multiple advisors, right? So the advisor says, great, you know, sends him the risk number questionnaire to set up the meeting. He comes back. The guy's at 23, right? He basically has no tolerance for risk. It makes a lot of sense. And so he comes in to the meeting. Advisor takes a few minutes, loads up his portfolio, and flips the screen around, and his portfolio is a 62, right? And then, you know, what's really interesting about the portfolio is they've got a lot of like long duration bonds in the portfolio. So he flips on the interest rate stress test and says, what happens if interest rates go up 100 basis points, right? Like, what does that do to the risk in the portfolio? Portfolio is a risk 83 in that scenario, right? They've got like $360,000 of downside risk in this portfolio in a 6 month time frame. Mm-hmm. And you know, this prospective client is just white as a sheet, right? At Riskalyze, we like to call that the ACAT form moment, right? Like you kind of want to have the transfer paperwork ready. But I mean, that literally was a 10-minute ACAT form moment. Like, bam, that client decided to move the $2 million account. Like, I sorry, golfing buddy, but you're not in alignment with what I need and what I want. And it built trust with the other advisor instantaneously because he was able to show me what I've always known was true, which is that I don't want risk and my portfolio is bouncing around a lot and I don't really understand why.
Sure.
It's because your portfolio is driving at 83 miles an hour and you want to go 23.
Yeah. Huh. Okay. I want to switch gears.
Okay.
Because, again, if you literally type Riskalyze into a Google search,
yeah,
you can. There's all sorts of magnificent stuff.
Okay.
Just so you, I did that.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
Awesome.
And, but I think it's great for people to have a chance to get to know who you are as
sure.
a person, all right? So these are like 10 questions. They're not too
okay.
deep philosophical, but some of them are
I'm
a
game.
Little bit.
Yeah, okay.
So when you're not working, what do you do for fun?
When I'm not working, well, I have three kids.
Okay.
And they are 14, 11, and 9. So I'm usually trucking them about to some kind of practice, or we're just hanging out and we're a watch movies kind of family. We're a, you know, go to the park and just hang out at the park together kind of family. And so we have a lot of fun. My wife and I are deeply blessed. We've adopted three times. So our first son is the 11-year-old, was born in South Korea. Our daughter is 9, was born in Ethiopia. And that got us involved in some nonprofit work in Ethiopia. And we met the kid who became the oldest Klein kid on one of those trips. And he's now 14. And he's been home for about 2-3 years. And so that's our crazy bunch. And we say we're renaming them Eeny, Meeny, and Miney because there ain't going to be no Mo. No Mo.
Who is your hero?
My dad.
Okay.
My dad, because, you know, I actually started working at the age of 12 in the afternoons after school for him in his company. And I'm kind of where I got the entrepreneurial gene. And he taught me a lot of things because it was a brutal business. So you could argue one of the things he taught me was go into a high margin business like technology where you can actually grow and invest in your customers, right? But it was a brutal business. It was 18% gross margins, commoditized product, you know, wholesale distribution of security equipment, right? And just a very difficult business. And, you know, he taught me a couple of things. One was that it takes a ton of grit to build a business and be an entrepreneur. And he demonstrated that like day in and day out and would just surmount every obstacle in his path. The second was that relationships are everything in business, that if you take good care of your customers, by and large, the vast majority of them are going to take good care of you. And so that those things just stuck with me. He knew nothing about child labor laws or minimum wage laws, but it all seems to have worked out just fine.
You can do that with family.
That's
though,
right. That's
so
right.
You got your clear. All right. If you had all of the money in the world you ever needed, what would you do differently?
when you travel in sub-Saharan Africa, you quickly find out that you already have all the money in the world that you could ever need, right? So today I would just say that, I try very hard to make sure, a lot of people talk about work-life balance. For me, my work and my life are very integrated. That's just the way it is with my job. But at the same time, I just try to structure things around making sure that I actually spend that time. This is precious time, you know, at this point in time with my kids, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to have them back at these ages anytime soon. And there ain't going to be no mo. So I got to think about that. And for me, that's been like I'm not naturally a morning person, but I'm up at 5 a.m. every morning because that's how I get into the office early. And that's how I get home at 6 o'clock for dinner mm-hmm. on the weeks that I'm not traveling. So, mm-hmm. you know, that's kind of how I think about it.
Who's your favorite person in history and why?
Oh, boy. That's a tough one. I think that if you were sitting in my office, you would see a small bust of Winston Churchill and a few Winston Churchill books, and I'd have to pick Churchill just for the clarity, the moral clarity that he brought to the fight against totalitarianism in the world. And I think that he was a big part of saving the world with the Greatest Generation not that long ago.
Yeah, not that long ago. When you think of the word success, how do you define it, and what is your idea of success?
You know, to have the opportunity to give back in the way we've been able to in Ethiopia, to have the opportunity to, you know, be able to spend time and build great memories with your family, to me, that's great success. I also just find a lot of meaning in the impact that we're able to make with 22,000 financial advisors across the country. Like I sit back and I would just say, you know, you want to ask me who's your second hero? It's financial advisors. And I say that because like I that probably sounds a little schmaltzy, but like, I mean, literally like the media lumps financial advisors in with the people who created the financial crisis in 2008. And it's so not true. Mm-hmm. Like financial advisors are heroes because they are living the stress mm-hmm. of hundreds of people, each of them, right? So collectively millions of people who are depending on them for the opportunity to retire with some dignity, to leave something for their kids, to make an impact through nonprofit work. And, you know, financial advisors are some of the most noble people that I know. So for me to have a small part of being able to make an impact and be the guardian of a movement that works on behalf of 22,000 financial advisors across the country is hugely meaningful.
What is something that most people don't know about you that you'd feel comfortable sharing on the podcast?
Oh, that's going to be tough because I have a very active Twitter account. So I feel like my wife says there's nothing anybody doesn't know about you. I don't know. That's an interesting one. So here's one. I think everybody who I really know would say, oh, Aaron is a total extrovert. And I think that I view that whole introvert extrovert thing as like a gas tank. And mine does get empty from time to time. And usually when that happens, I need to get on a long cross country flight alone with the headphones on and just like not talk to some humans for a few hours. So that's how I fill that, you know, that's how I fill the extrovert tank back up.
All right. So what is one thing that you recommend most to family or friends? Now, this can be a book, a TED Talk, a saying. Mm. What is your kind of go-to thing there?
You know, I'd have to say I have a stack of books on my credenza that I hand out to people who I think, you know, could be helped by it. And it's a book called Extreme Ownership by Jocko Willink. And he is a U.S. Navy SEAL, was in Iraq. And it is fascinating how the Navy SEAL training has so many parallels to what we do in business. And he has done a remarkable job of kind of applying the different components of Navy SEAL training to making sure that we understand how to cover for each other, how to think about planning, how to think about execution, how to think about being accountable. And so it's been interesting. I actually distributed that to my entire leadership team this last year. We have implemented a lot of those principles. into our planning. It's been really helpful. And so now I just have this stack of books, and whenever it gets low, we order a few more and put them on the credenza so we can keep handing them out.
Well, we will make sure that we put that a link to that book in the show notes so that everybody can go ahead and download that or purchase it. What is your mantra or motto? So when you feel like you're a little off center, how do you get yourself back on track?
Yeah, I think a lot of people would tell you that I end emails with the word onward. And what I mean by that is simply that a lot of times there's stuff where things have gotten a little bit off track, or things have gotten off kilter, or people are not understanding. You're trying to, and you know, a lot of times employees will kind of feel frustrated about that, right? They'll be off on, you know, feel like they're down a cul-de-sac, and why am I down on this cul-de-sac? And at the end of the day, we can't get too hung up about the mistakes we made in the past, right? Like we tell people at Riskalyze when we onboard them, I still teach mission and values to every class of new Riskalyzers who come aboard. And we talk about our value of freedom, right? And our we believe A players thrive on freedom, and you know, they'll do great things. We have high expectations for how we use that freedom to win, but we really believe they thrive on freedom. And a lot of people will say, what does that really mean? Like, what does it take to get fired here? And I will literally tell them, like, okay, this is really simple. Like, don't break the law, okay? Don't do anything unethical. Don't lie, cheat, steal, falsify data, like do crazy, you know, baloney like that. And you know, our partners and our customers depend on our services, on what we do on a mission critical level. So, you know, don't take down Riskalyze for a week, you know, for all of our advisors, okay? Short of those, it's never happened, thankfully. I've never had to fire anybody for anything, but we had a couple, you know, who skated through the unethical part, and they're gone now, and that's part of any organization. But you know, like, look, absent those three things, like, we are okay with people making mistakes. We want to learn from our mistakes. We want to try not to make the same mistake again. If you keep making the same mistake again, it signals that you have an inability to learn. That's going to be a problem, right? But absent that, we're good with people making mistakes. And we turn around and we say, onward, let's figure out what's next, and let's keep our eyes to the future and figure out how we execute this better next time.
What is your proudest achievement?
My proudest achievement has to be building a family. You know, my kids are just incredible human beings. They're each such interesting individuals, right? And my wife and I just feel really blessed every day by them, and getting to be a part of their lives and be a part of building a family with them. And they're just amazing kids.
Now, if people feel a connection with you or the company, what is the best way for them to reach out to either join your family, join the movement, or get in touch with you?
Sure. Well, obviously, if you're interested in Riskalyze, riskalyze.com is a great place to start. But I'm also pretty active on Twitter, so at Aaron Klein is probably the best way to track me down there. I get a lot of email from random advisors as well. I'm always happy to do that as well. But do a lot of tweeting with financial advisors out there, and that's a lot of fun. Sometimes makes the PR people sweat a little bit, but you know, that's my job.
It is your job. I love that. As we have a PR person sitting here right now, and I think she just started sweating.
Fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely fantastic. All right. Well, Aaron, thank you very much for being a guest on the Top Advisor Marketing Podcast.
Great to be with you.
And if you have not subscribed to the podcast, make sure you click that subscribe now button below. And if you know somebody who is not using Riskalyze or would like to find a way to change the conversation and truly get in line with what their questions, investment needs, and risk tolerance is, please go to riskalyze.com. For everybody at Top Advisor Marketing and Riskalyze, this is Matt Halloran, and we'll see you on the other side of the mic very soon.
This was brought to you by Iris.xyz, a platform helping financial professionals become better in business and life through new media and new voices. Visit them and learn more at Iris.xyz.